Parshas Balak. I'd like to celebrate this at Baruch Hashem as our 100th shir on the Yeshiva website. So next mention I'll make the 1,000th shir. But Baruch Hashem. Vayah Balak ben Sipur. Eskasha Osi Yisrael Amiri. Okay? Here we have a very, very fascinating parasha. And in fact, the Gemara says in Brachos that the Rabbanon wanted to introduce and put into Kriya Shema Parshas Balak. In other words, part of Kriya Shema, part of the three parashas, will also be Parshas Balak. That should be a chelik of the Kriya Shema morning and evening. The problem was, there's a time crunch. And people couldn't learn and do work and do everything needed to do if they read every day Kriya Shema with Parshas Balak. But Parshas Balak should be in Kriya Shema in the ideal world.
The whole parasha?
The whole parasha. The whole
parasha.
The Gemara in Brachos. Where did the Gemara in Brachos? Exactly where? Yud Beis on the base. Various different reasons why. But the Gemara brings Brachos, Yud Beis on the base. The parasha's bollocks should have been in Kriya Shema. Okay? They took it out because Shum Torah HaTzibur. Now, why is it so important it should be in there in parasha's? Well, maybe the Aseret HaDibra should be in there, maybe have Parshas Kedoshim. Yeah, why do we have Parshas Balak in there ideally? What's the idea behind this? So if we work through the parasha carefully, besides dealing with an extremely complex character called Bilam, person who had the capacity to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, to be the greatest person in the world, matching Moshe Rabbeinu in his Nevuah, matching Moshe Rabbeinu in his Aliyah of coming, connecting with Rabbeinu Shalom. And in the end, he died in Misa Mashunah. He died a terrible, terrible death. Besides that, understanding the mindset behind him, how he actually moved from stage to stage, is what really should motivate us to understand clearly how we work. And well, unfortunately, the word chet, sin, is not something we'd like to talk about. But this parasha deals and discusses exactly the motivation for Averis, the bring out of Averis, and how ultimately to make a U-turn if Chas V'Sholom is involved in being sucked into an Avera. So firstly, we discussed this in previous years, but I want to bring out an extra point this year. The Pasuk says later on, Bilam got up very early and he saddled his own donkey. Okay, this is in Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Aleph. So Bilam got up in the morning and he saddled his donkey. You know, if you're writing a thriller, he wouldn't write, and he went down to the car, he put his car keys in the car door, and that was it. You know, it's not something you write. What is it so important about Yochum Bilam Abayke? He woke up in the morning. He saddled his donkey. Ah, Gavaldi. What's the idea here? So you have to understand, saddling a donkey is not something you do. Saddling a donkey is something that the underlings do, the workers do, the meshorsim do, the porters, whatever it is. But you don't saddle your own donkey. It's not something you do. You know, it's like filling you're like being an ambassador, and you're filling up the tires with air. It's not something you do. So from Yochum Bilam Abayke, Bilam got up early in the morning and he saddled his own donkey. Why? Zog Rashi. But Yochum Bilam Abayke V'Yachbesh the Sasoina says Rashi Mikan Shahasinam Mekalkeles Es Ashura. The hatred he had for Klal Yisrael distorted his intellect. Shachovash Hu Ba'atzmo, he himself saddled his donkey, which was not something he should have done. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him, Rasha, ye evil man, Kva Kedamcha Avram Avim. Avram Avinu did it before you. Avram Avinu saddled his donkey. So here we have Bilam getting up early in the morning wanting to saddle his donkey, and Hashem says, Rasha, Avram Avinu already did it before you. What is this? Big deal, fine, he did it before me, so what? And why did he saddle this donkey? This person was the biggest Baal Gaiva. He's a person whose nose was way, way up. Yeah, to meet up from Bilam Rasha. It was a Ruach Gavoya. This person had terrible gaiva. What is he doing? Saddling up his donkey. Maybe photographers there. Be front page saddling up his donkey. Everybody laughing at him. What's he doing it for? What's the point? And what's the point of Avram Avinu doing it before him? So Ramesh Feinstein brings a beautiful pshat. And he says, he brings a pasuk from Mishli. Im tivakshena ka kesef ukevat moinin tachapseno ol tovin yiras Hashem. If a person seeks out silver and gold and uses that to understand how to do business, in other words, if a person does business, then you'll understand Hashem. What does that mean? What it means is like this. People are capable of working tremendously hard to make money. People are willing to invest their life, invest their time, invest efforts, invest everything in order to make some money. People fly all over the world. You get people who are literally flying all over the world constantly, living in terrible places, in subhuman conditions sometimes, to work on some kind of oil, some kind of oil rig somewhere. You know, the gold rush. What didn't people do for the gold rush? How many people were killed in the gold rush of illness and crime and people to make money? The gold rush. People came all over the place, right? In order to get money. Ultimately, that is a terrible thing for a person who's a Yerushalayim and Ovid Hashem. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, people are willing to do all that to make money. People are willing to work 18-hour days in order to pump up their portfolio. Why aren't you doing that with Ruchnius? Why aren't you working so hard? Why aren't you getting up early? You know, a person can fly all over the world, and he's literally, you get people who the passports look like telephone books. Yeah, they're 500 pages thick, and they're stamped all over the place. You know, they come home, and it gets 8 o'clock, oh, I haven't got Koyach to go to Maariv. But if you had a deal now in Singapore, you'd be on that plane like nothing. So when you come to Shemayim, I know I was tired. Yeah, of course you were tired. But that's no excuse. You're willing to show yourself how hard you're willing to work. Do you know what seichel goes into to creating a new car? You get a new car. Plenty of cars around. You can use the same car, the same engines, years and years. No, they've got to come up with a new car. The design, the technology, the advertising, the sales, the marketing. Unbelievable what goes into it, and people do it, and they make a lot of money. That is how we should be working with our business. We should be working, how are we going to finish us? What's our business plan? How are we going to do it? How are we going to make our family more involved in chesed? A business plan. So just here and there, you never make a business that way. Says Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've got a business plan. I want to make Klal Yisrael absolutely perfect. And therefore I'm going to do everything from early morning to late at night to show you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much I'm a Zoriz. How careful I am to get up early in the morning to show my Zrizus, to show my passion to do Avodas Hashem. Bilam never knew Avram Avinu did this. Bilam thought that I'm the first guy to come along and be willing to saddle my own donkey and eat my own dignity, eat humble pie in order, just in order, to fulfill my own desires. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at me. Look at me. I'm Bilam. I'm such a chosh of a person. I've got everything going for me. And I still saddle my donkey. Is there any Jew who's willing to saddle their donkey for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And with that, he wanted to make a kitrug. With that, he wanted to make an accusing finger, show an accusing finger at Klal Yisrael and say, huh, look at you. You're not willing to go as far as I am for my business. And that would have made a kitrug. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu Bilam, good try. But Avraham Avinu actually did this. And therefore, he already did it before you. And therefore, it's too late. There's nothing you can make a kitrug here. You're too late. Says Ramesha, what would have been Chas V'Sholem if Avraham Avinu would not have done it? And Bilam would have made a kitrug, it would have affected Klal Yisrael forever and ever. That is what is so important. You've got to learn. You've got to see the world out there. You've got to learn from their ways of marketing, their ways of business planning. And if we work on that correctly, we can build a business plan that will work for ourselves, that can work forever and ever for Nitzchias. Ramesha says, "Im lofan garti, v'tarim mitzvah shemarti, v'leimatu v'maisa v'roim." I kept all the mitzvahs, I never learned from the bad ways. Says Ramesha, if you kept all the mitzvahs, why say, I never learned from his bad ways? Of course he never learned from his bad ways, kept all the mitzvahs. He said, no, Yaakovin was giving a krecht. I lived beloved all this time, but never learned to do evil with the same enthusiasm that he does good. I never learned to do good with the same enthusiasm that he does evil. In love and gratitude, v'leimati v'maisa v'roim. Still, with all the mitzvahs, I kept them, but never learned to do my Maisa Chesed, my Maisa Mitzvah, with the same geschmack that he does with Maisa Avera. By the way, we'll see later on, according to Midrashim, Bilam and Lavon is the same person. Okay? Alpi Medrash, exactly how that works, whether it's a Gilgal, whether it's Nitzot, I don't know very much about these things, but it's the same person. So, that is Yaakovinu. So he gets up early, and he wants to saddle his donkey to make a kitrug. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Bilam, too late. Avraham Avinu has already done it. That's one pshat. But there is another pshat, which the Manal of Gate said, Rabbi Chesgio Eliezer Kahan, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, said a very, very beautiful pshat. And he says that this actually goes a lot deeper than just Kedamcha does not mean Avraham Avinu did it before you. Kedamcha means Avraham Avinu did it on a whole different level to you. What does this mean? Now this is a very, very important point. It a little bit contradicts the previous point, but it doesn't really. What's Peshat over here? He says like this. He says, if you are standing by the traffic lights, right, and you see, I don't know, this convertible draw up with a 5-litre engine, and he's revving at the lights, and as the lights turn green, vroom, he shoots off, right? Do you think to yourself, wow, that guy is such a Zoriz, such a Zrizus, unbelievable, you know, look at him, such a car, he buys such a car, and his Zrizus, he's shooting down across town, you know, you see a person running, you know, with an executive case, through the first class track, going through to get his plane, going off the thing in a VIP, he's running, he's coming backwards. Think to yourself, wow, what an unbelievable person. Look at this resource, look at this passion. Unbelievable, gewaldig, I should learn from this, right? The truth is he should, but you have to understand what's going on over here. What's going on over here is, this person, who looks like a big Azoriz, is the most lazy person in the world. What do you mean? He's flying all over the world. He's driving the fastest cars. Why is he the biggest lazy person you've ever seen? The Teretz is because he cannot possibly control his Yetzer Hara. He has a taiva for money. He has a taiva for Gashmius. This person is completely not able and not willing to exert himself in any way or fashion to say, no, I've got to look after myself. I've got to look after my ruchnius. I've got to take care of myself. I have to stop all this mishagas. These people are totally out of control. And they have no power whatsoever. They have no zerizus whatsoever. They're not willing to exert themselves one least little bit to control their desires. These people are the laziest people in the world. They may seem like they're going all over the place, but they're not going anywhere. They're being dragged by the Yetzer Hara. They're on tow. They're driving in neutral, and they're being towed along by the taiva. The engine isn't even turned on. You're just being dragged all over the world by taiva. That was Bilam. Bilam was the ultimate Baal taiva. He was dragged all over the world with taiva. He gets up early in the morning to make it, you know, just in case, you know, I may miss get caught in traffic. Let's get up early. That is not Zrizus. That is taiva. That is laziness. Kvakidamcha Avraham Avinu, says a Manal, Avraham Avinu did exactly the opposite. Why is Avraham Avinu getting up early? Where was Avraham Avinu going? Avraham Avinu was going to be makriv his own future, to sacrifice his own son, to eradicate the future of Klal Yisrael. It took every single most powerful energy Avraham Avinu had to control every muscle in his body, to break his natural instinct as a parent to follow Kodesh Baruch Hu's Rotson. He broke himself down. He completely eradicated who he was in order to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rotzen. That is Rizus. That is somebody who is totally in control. He's willing to do anything in order to control his desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kavakadam Cham Avinu means we can see two different people. And it looks like doing the same thing. You can see a person running to Kodal or a person running going to shul in the morning, driving his car to shul in the morning, driving as fast as he can. And next to him, the person driving him to business as fast as he can, on the Rotsim Vahim Rotsim. They're both running. On Rotsim Chaylim above Vahim Rotsim Ve'er Shachas. Because one person is doing it for exact reasons of controlling his desire, breaking down who he is for Rotsim Hashem, other person is saying, I've lost control. Whatever tithe it takes me, it'll take me. That's it. And that, so the Kvat Kedamcha is a whole different level. So this is the motivation stage. What got Bilam going, his motivation to make a Kitruk on Klal Yisrael, his motivation was Taiva to draw him. But what is the next stage? After motivation for Chet, the next stage is the application. And how do we see the Chet, how it is applied by Bilam? So if you look in Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Gimel, Pasuk Chof Dalet, Pasuk Chof Vov, V'teiru ha'osoyim. Okay, we're talking about the famous story where the Osoyim saw the Malach. V'teiru ha'osoyim. Es Malach Hashem Nitzah Baderach, he saw the Malach standing in the way. V'charbo shlufo b'yodoy. And he had a cherev drawn in his hand. V'teit ha'osoyim aderach. Yeah, and the Osoyim off the D. When off the derech, v'teilach b'sadeh, and he went into the field. V'yach Bilam esa osun lahatoysoy v'derech, and Bilam hit it to go back onto the derech. Okay, so first it was a sadeh. V'tav v'yamoid malach Hashem v'mishol hakrom godom izeh om godom izeh. Stood in the area where there's a wall one side and the other. V'teir osus malach Hashem v'telochetz al hakir, and squash him on the kir. And then it says, v'yosef malach Hashem avori v'yamoid mokum tzar. It was in a very narrow place. Asher ein derech lintois minus modik, not go right or left. Now, what is this so important? What's this whole story for? It says a koymetz mincha, very, very beautiful pshat. The koymetz mincha. I'm not crying. Very, very nice pshat. I think it's from Aaron Troy. It's a very, very nice pshat. And I want to give it with a moshel, which I believe you can all feel is a real example, because I know myself. I've been through these different nesiyonos. You come to a chasna. You're not talking about a chasna where you have a table plan, where you have to sit next to this person because that's what the balabos decide they have to be friendly with. You know, it's a table plan where you have a bit of democracy. You can sit where you want, right? So you come to these tables, and for every chasna, you have the table where the lads are on. Yeah, the boys, the lads. You know, these guys having a good laugh. The clinking glasses, and they're making the tzonos, and lashon hara, you know, and these are the party animals. They're really having a good time, you know, and they're putting the band to pieces, and they're rubbing the finger on the glass to make to vibrate the sound to get the system the microphone system corrupt. Those guys, you know, but they're having a good time. These guys are really having a good time at the chasna, but you know it's not the right place to be. On the other tables, you've got the very mature people sitting there and speaking, you know, Divrei Torah, and no Lashon Hara, and you know to yourself where you should be. And there's one empty seat by that table. But, you know, if you're there, you've made it, as far as the social scene is concerned. So, you come into the hall, and it's a big open space. On the right-hand side is the table with the lads. And the left-hand side is a table with the Tamid HaChomim. Okay? So now, you've got Mamish, it's a wide open area. So the first stage of Chet is, you have a very, very open choice where you want to go. And that's the first pasuk. The first pasuk is, V'teira ha'osus v'alach Hashem nitzah v'derech v'chabushu v'teit osim, sorry, the first pasuk was, V'teirech basode. It's going in a field, it's a wide open area, a whole field. Whole place in front of you. Plenty of space. That's the first stage. The next stage is, you decided, you know what, let's go to see the table, what's going on over there. He moves over to the table, and as he comes close, ah, Yankel, take a seat, there's an empty seat here. Come on, be one of us. Now it's a little bit more complicated. You know, on one hand, he can say, no, I'm really sorry, I'd love to, but there's somebody over there I need to speak to, and, you know, maybe I'll come back later. And he can very elegantly get away from it, but it's getting a little bit harder. Ah, come on, sit down, come on, enjoy yourself. No, I've really got to go, okay? He has a choice, but it's getting more complicated. It's Godem is there, but Godem is there. Already you have a wall on both sides. It's not as quite as easy as it was beforehand. It's already getting walls, it's getting a little bit more sticky to get out of this. Okay, he can't control himself. End of the day, he sits down. And then they start speaking to him. Oh, you know, what do you think? What do you think about the rabbis of Russia? Joker, isn't he? He's a complete clown. What's he going to do? He put his hands in his ears, walk away? That is mamish a level where he's v'yam b'mokum tzar, asha ein derech lintois yomin u'smoil. He's in a very narrow area, can't turn left and right. Right or left. Okay? This is a derech of chet. Originally, you have plenty space, plenty scope to make your choices. The choices get more and more narrow, the quicker and shorter your path is towards a chet. In other words, you know, at the beginning, got plenty of room, then you start going towards a chet, it gets harder, eventually you get sucked into it, you mamash kam a chelik of the chet. And this is the passage of and the pathway of how a person should do chet is, at this stage of sodah, he should have completely diverted and gone in the correct direction. That's, by the way, why a seita gets such a fantastic schar, even though she went to be yechidus, even though she went in seclusion with a man she never have gone into seclusion with. The Gemara says that if she found out to be innocent, she did not have actual relationship with this man, then she gets children much easier, and she gets tremendous schar. So the Mepharshim asked, Bali Musa asked, why did she get such schar? End of the day, she did a bad thing going into yichud with this man. Yichud could be derais, yichud could be drabonim, she went in. So why did she get this schar? So explain, the schar is that at the stage, at the critical stage, where she could have done chet, and she sees on both her sides, there's no place to go right or left, and she managed to extricate herself and leave chet, that takes tremendous strength. Takes tremendous strength to be so far into the chet and to take a different path, that takes tremendous, tremendous self-control, and for that she deserves unlimited schar. That's Peshat over here. But even so, so here we have the motivation for the chet, it's a taiva, we have the motivation for the chet to make a kitrug. Then we have how the chet develops. We have the three different stages of the chet. Then we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping us. This is on Perek Chof Beis. Pasuk Chof Beis. Vayichar af Elokim ki hoylechu. Vayichar af Elokim ki hoylechu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got very angry that he was going. Vayisiyatzev Malach Hashem b'derech l'satan loy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood him a Malach Hashem on the way l'satan loy. Now, who is this Malach Hashem? So first of all, the Chofetz Chaim says that the pasuk starts off Yicha af ha'elikim. Elikim is Midas Hadin. And then it says Vayisiyatzev Malach Hashem. Hashem is Midas Harachamim. So why does the pasuk begin with Midas Hadin and then Teishu Midas Harachamim? Okay? Vatera also is Malach Hashem, all the way through is Malach Hashem. What's the idea behind this? So the Chofetz Chaim brings a story with Rechaim Volozhin. Rechaim Volozhin, you may not have known this, Rechaim Volozhin was a successful businessman. He had a textile business. And he would go to the markets and buy textiles, he'd bring it back to different places, to Volozhin, and sell them there. And he's a successful businessman. And one time in a big textile business, in a market in Zelava, I'm not sure exactly where that is, and Zelava is a big textile market there. He was there with his money, and carrying around his big cons of materials. And I saw a friend there, and he says, Chaim, what are you doing here? He says, what am I doing here? This one comes to business, you know. Got to support a family. I'll do what I can. Anyway, that evening, this statement went round and round in his head. Chaim, what are you doing here? He looked at him, what am I doing here? Maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe my place should be somewhere else. What am I doing here? Making money? Is that what life's all about? Making money? Maybe I can make money in a different way and learn more. You know, in fact, maybe I can encourage other people to learn more. You know what? Maybe I have the power, if as you said beforehand, if a person can put together a business, maybe my business should be Torah. Maybe I can actually make a fantastic business. Not only that, create a business for myself, but involve other people in the business. Make a center for Torah. And Chaim Volozhin went back and started the first yeshiva, the Ema Yeshivas. What are you doing here? One statement, what schar this man got for saying this to him. I don't think he ever knows what he meant at that time. But the schar is unbelievable. That is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely changes course of life. And that changed all our course of life. All the yeshivas started from that yeshiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a yicha afelakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is furious when you're going on a derech of chet. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu again and again and again will put in front of us a Malach Hashem, a Malach of Rachamim. And that Malach of Rachamim will say, hey, stop. If you do the right thing, you have a chance now. I'm going to give a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn around and make a decision to go back in the right way. And this is a Malach Hashem. Says Rashi, what does Malach Hashem look like, Rabbi Isai? This is frightening. What does Malach Hashem look like?
Got a sword in hand.
He has a sword in his hand. Says Rashi, he's a Malach of Rachamim. He's a Malach of Rachamim with a sword in his hand. Says Aham Ekdova, how many times in life does one choose a path and one thinks one's doing a wonderful thing and a sword, a malach with a sword, stands in front of you. Terrifying! He looks like he's going to kill you. And that is a malach of rachamim. That message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was enough to change you around and put you on the right path. That's a malach of rachamim. So we have to know, sometimes you see a malach, a very, very scary malach in front of us. Of course it's very scary, but it's a malach of rachamim to change the course that we're going on. A couple of very, very interesting stories, I'm sure. You know, here Baruch Hashem, in Yeshivat Baalei Tshuva, there must have been, in every single one of your life, a time where you made a decision to go in a path that there's a certain stage where Hashem gave a sign, and he took that sign and he moved on. You know, anyone who's come from a different, complete different lifestyle and has chosen this path, there must be a time, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a message. I mean, you know better than I do, but there's a certain time where, you know what, wow, I've got to think about this, and you make a decision. That's Malach Hashem. Sometimes Malach looks like a very friendly Malach. You can look like, you know, Rabbi Ziskin, right? Or you can look like what's his name, by the Koisel there, Ramea Shuster, yeah? And sometimes it can look like with a Malach with a sword in his hand. Okay? But it's a Malach Hashem.
Is there a stop you or to help you?
It's to stop you, make you think, and hopefully you yourself made the Bechira to make a choice.
But you need, when it's there with the sword in his hand, it's telling you to stop. It's not there in order to assist you on that.
It's to make you stop and help you to make a new decision. You know, don't carry on, stop. Now you stopped, maybe think again where you're going. So it's a beautiful story here from Pesach Kron, in a Footsteps of the Maggid. There's a motorcyclist who lived up in the Galil. Okay? His name was Gadi. Okay, motorcyclist. And he had this rip-roaring time through the Galil, you know. He had this beautiful motorbike, Harley Davidson with chrome and metal and his seats and the all the gear, the helmet and all the matching stuff. This guy was the pride and joy of his life was his motorcycle, and he'll be roaring through the black ribbon street, the roads of the Galil, and you know, geschmack and machai, exhilarating, made him feel free, fantastic. One day, as he's driving through one of his little villages in the Galil, he came to an intersection, and he made a very, very quick turn, and a child walked from the pavement right in front of his motorbike. And he had no time to stop, he had no time to swerve, and he knocked this child right across the road and slammed it across a wall on the other side of the street. There was shock, the mother was screaming, people were shouting, one person had the correct frame of mind to call the ambulance, there was sirens, and they took this child off. People saw, obviously it was not his fault, the child ran in the road, but this child never went to hospital and he was in a coma. And it was a coma, a very, very deep coma. And people felt very sorry for the family, obviously. Felt very sorry for the family, very sorry for the child. But Gadi felt that one of the victims of this accident was himself. He couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep. He had this picture in his mind of the moment of impact. This girl, the fright in this girl's eyes when he hit. You know, it's terrible. And anyone who Chas v'Shalom is involved in a car accident, and ones who did it, it can completely ruin one's life. And people trying to console him, and he's inconsolable, and he couldn't concentrate. And life was terrible for him. Baruch Hashem, after a few days, the girl crawled out of the coma, and the doctors She was under very deep and careful medical care. After a few days, doctors said that she'll be able to leave hospital very soon without any permanent damage. Obviously, there's a few broken bones, but no permanent damage. He would go often to the hospital. He'd go look up to visit the parents. He'd go and see how the girl was. His whole life became completely enveloped by how this girl was doing. One day, he comes to the hospital. The mother says, "Baruch Hashem, there's a frum girl, frum mother, Baruch Hashem. We're going to leave the hospital." And, you know, Hashem did a tremendous mess. So this Gadi, this fellow there standing there with his shiny motorbike helmet in his hand and his long hair, he says, "Tell me, I felt so bad what I've done to you and for your poor daughter. Is there anything I can possibly do? Tell me, I'm not a very wealthy guy, I don't have very much money, but is there anything I can possibly do just to make you feel better, just to make your daughter feel better? I'll do anything. You don't know what it means to me, just tell me to do something, I'll do it." So the mother said, "Well, I've got to tell you, the day that you ran my child over was Shabbos. And it really is upsetting. I used to see you driving through in a motorcycle through this quiet little village on Shabbos. Do me a favor, please, for the sake of my daughter, for the sake of the family, please don't go on your motorcycle on Shabbos." The guy says, "That's it? That's it? That's all you want? Are you sure?" "That's all." "Fine. Okay." Doesn't know what Shabbos is. Well, fine. Makes him happy. Didn't even realize what was Shabbos that day. Next week, Shabbos, gets his car, he gets his motorcycle keys, gets his helmet, puts his boots on, and then he realizes, "Hey, one second. I made a promise. I won't ride my motorcycle on Shabbos." This is crazy. What's Shabbos? What is this all about? Can't ride a bike on Shabbos. What's wrong with riding a bike on Shabbos? What have you done? Not killing anybody. What's wrong? She goes to a street across the road. Across the road, there's a little quiet street there. There's a few houses. And one house saw mezuzah. Knocks on the door. Mezuzah means a person's from. Knocks on the door. And there's this sweet Sephardi family sitting around a table there. And very, you know, a simple family, a simple home. Not particularly learned. Nice, sweet family, all sitting there. He says, "Can I come in?" He said, "Please come in, join us." Very friendly, he's giving a big plate of hummus with the garinim. The guy's really enjoying himself. He said, "Listen, I've got to ask you something." And he told them the whole story. And he said to them, "Why can't I ride my motorcycle on Shabbos?" He said, "What is it? Are you dumb? Are you crazy? You can't ride a motorcycle on Shabbos because you're not allowed to work on Shabbos." "So why?" "Because you got to rest on Shabbos." "Got to rest? This is my biggest rest. That's my biggest enjoyment. I don't want to rest on Shabbos. That's why I want to ride my motorcycle." "No, you can't, because it's not called rest." "Why?" "Because in the Mishkan." "Yeah, the Mishkan. They had motorcycles in the Mishkan." Anyway, the guy didn't have good answers. He said, "Listen, I don't know what to tell you, but down the road, there's a Rav. Why didn't you speak to the Rav? Ask the Rav." "Fine." Waited the Motzei Shabbos. Went to the Rav. The Rav said, "Listen, this is a long story. You know, you can't just tell you on one foot exactly why. Let's learn once a week." "Fine." Started to learn once a week. Started to learn twice a week. Then he said, "Listen, it's getting a bit much. I'm going away on holiday. I need to leave this place. I need to leave my family. I want to go away on holiday." "So where are you going?" "I want to go to Yerushalayim." "So you go to Yerushalayim. Check out a place called Or Sameach. Or Sameach for Israelis. Go there. Check out Or Sameach. Go inside there. And maybe, you know, you maybe even enjoy yourself." He goes there. He meets fantastic people. Avram Ravitz. All these big people there. So, I mean, sits down and starts learning. And he loves it. After 2 weeks, he sends a message back home. He's staying. This boy became a Talmid Chacham. He married, built a beautiful home, beautiful family. This Chav Shlufa B'Yodei, that Chav Shlufa B'Yodei, this Malach Hashem, was a moment of impact, the most frightening moment of his life. The Malach was his petrified girl's eyes and hearing his crunch of bones against a wall. That was his Malach Hashem, and that changed his life. We can have so many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu taps us on the shoulder and says, "I'm angry with you. Why are you going on this way? What are you doing? But I give you a message, I give you a sign. Don't do this. Don't do this." Have you ever told me that story about Rabbi Haber? No. There's a Rav, a very chosh of a Rav in Ramat Beit Shemesh called Rabbi Haber. He's been all around the world. Rabbi Haber was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. And he lived... Rabbi Haber is a Rav of Shifti Yishurun. Right? Rabbi Haber was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. And he lived in... He lived in Unstorf, not far from Mattersdorf, where the yeshiva was, and he learnt. One day, he's there with he had one child or two children by then. He's lighting the candles on Hanukkah night, and his fellow knocks on the door. He's got an eye patch. not eye patch, one eye hardly opened. It smelt terrible. He arms are, and he's a guy, you know, he says, can I help you? He says, oh, you know, hi, if I could just come in for a few moments, it's so cold outside, you know. He says, yeah, sure, come inside. Comes inside, sits down. He says, no, oh, you know, haven't eaten for quite a while. No problem, join us. It's some sufganiyot, it's some latkes. Gave the guy a meal. Oh, thank you so much. You can use your bathroom. Anyway, the guy left. Opened up all the windows. You know, fine, he left. Do you think it was the last time they ever saw him? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He come 3 days later, again for supper. Oh, yeah, come inside. He became a regular. But not only did he become a regular, he started coming in even in times where Rabbi Haber was not at home. So for his wife, it was getting uncomfortable, this guy coming in, he'd be there, put his feet up on the couch, you know, he'd be there the whole day. It got a little bit complicated. Anyway, they needed to move, the house was getting too small, so they decided to move to Ramayma. Okay? Move to place in Ramayma. They moved to Ramayma, and the Shiloh was, should you tell this fellow, his fellow's name is Baini, should you tell him that they're moving? Because, you know, so the Rav said, no, you don't need to. You don't need to tell him. They got moved there, and as they move in, they notice on the floor a scorpion. A scorpion. Now, there's 1,300 different species of scorpion in the world. The most dangerous ones are the Palestine yellow scorpion. It's the most dangerous scorpion. I've personally seen them in my building when they're still doing digging from up at Shemesh. We saw them. I killed it on Shabbos. There's no choice because it was, but you know, I couldn't even trap it. It was going, moving so quickly. I took the bin and I smashed it again and again and again. In Mamish, I felt very. In Mamish, it was Mamish, literally Bekoch Nefesh. Mamish Bekoch Nefesh. It's brought down Shulchan Aruch, what one should do. Anyway, this little yellow scorpion, it's about that big, but it's deadly. Absolutely deadly. It's all in the house. They called in, and the woman's shrieking, they called in the exterminators. Somebody needs to come once. They leave, scorpions are still there. They come twice, so there's no chance. That's it, nothing I can do. Nothing we can do. You know, we've done the best we can, nothing we can do. Fine, you know, what can we do? Hopefully they're gone. But they're not, they're there. And there's nobody else in the building has these scorpions. One day the woman's shrieking, there's a scorpion just walking along a skirting board close to her kids. They say, what's going on over here? What is this Malach telling us? What is this Malach Hashem telling us? So they went to Rav Scheinberg. And Rav Scheinberg said, you know, it's something called Perek Shira. Let's look what it says about the Akrav. It says in Perek Shira, Akrav Oime, Tov Hashem Nekoil, V'rachmov Al Kol Ma'asov. Hashem is kind to all, and he's a Rachmim Al Kol Ma'asov. Why? A scorpion isn't that popular. But Kosh Baruch loves it anyway, and has Rachmonos on it, and gives it its food. So Rav Scheinberg says, that's what a scorpion is. Is there anything, does that remind you of anything? Does that answer your question? I said, of course that answers my question. There was this beggar, this Banish, who, you know, we never gave him our address, and he probably was relying on us. He probably was starving after a long day, and he thought, oh, Baruch Hashem, I got a hot meal, knocks on the door, and there's somebody else said, didn't let him in. And, you know, the next day, and, you know, maybe. So that's the case, go and find him. Go and find him, and try and bring him back in your home again. So he said he knew he lived in Gula somewhere, you know, Gula somewhere, you know, look him up in the phone book, Banish a beggar, you know, it doesn't come up there. So here he is looking from place to place, and he walked through the Gula, not the whole day, but every day he made a conscious effort to walk around. He didn't find him. Still scorpions walking around. One day he's on a bus in Kikar Shabbos, and he sees Banish. He jumps off the bus, he runs over to Banish, gives him a big bear hug. You know, this guy's never had a bear hug in his life. You know, what do you want? Yeah, Mazda, oh, good to see you, believe me, it's good to see you too. He said, listen, you know, maybe you want to come for a meal? Yeah, no problem. Yeah, if you insist. Anyway, here's my name, here's my phone number, here's my address. With pleasure. He comes over there that night. You know, he eats a delicious meal. And the scorpions are never seen again. Never seen again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has signs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes people's lives. With the Rachmav Al Kol Ma'asov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachmav on everyone. And Hashem gives us a warning. Rabbi Yisai, what was Bilam's warning over here? Bilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a warning. Now, who's he giving a warning to? A person with so much scope. A Navi. He knew what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. Hashem gave him the biggest warnings. What are the warnings? He's going through a Mishal Kromim and the donkey that's always listened to him absolutely perfectly starts deviating off the path. So start thinking to yourself, what's going on over here? You know, imagine you're about to go and buy yourself a cheeseburger, yeah? Or no, let's do a different story. You want to go out for a quick little quiet game of golf on Shabbos, right? And as you get to the car, the garage door doesn't open. Never happened before. Okay, you pull it, you push it, you clank it, you open it, fine. Then you get to the car, so you turn on, the engine doesn't turn on. Right? Thank you, Hashem, I got the message. Let's put the clubs back and go back to bed, right? So you get the message. Here he got the message, you've got the donkey not going on the right path three times. He hits it. Now, how much more message you need than that? The donkey opens his mouth. Bilam, you know, and this before Walt Disney came along, where animals spoke, right? This is not something you usually do, right? Bilam, you know, why are you hitting me? Why am I hitting you? Because he's having a conversation with his dumb ass. I mean, what on earth is he doing? Yeah, he starts, not only does he get the message, he starts arguing with him, and he says to me, if I would have a stick, if a sword, I would have killed you. Yeah, and then how would you travel? Yeah, what? Get the message. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Friday afternoon is a very busy time. He specially created this donkey in order to have this conversation with him, to give him the message. Do you think he gets the message? Absolutely not. He carries on. Carries on the parasha. What happens later? This unbelievable thing. He said, "V'tiloches el hakir," and his leg got squashed on the kir. Rabbi Yisai. Before that, it's a geder mizeh, the geder mizeh. Says Rashi, "Stam geder shalavonim hu." Stam of wall is made out of stones. Made on sana. Stam made out of stones. Wow, Gavaldi. You know. So what's got to do with it? So the Yonasan ben Aziel says. He said, what was that stone? What's a wall of stones? That was a stone, the walls that they made with Yaakov Avinu, the Gal Eid. They made a monument that Yaakov and Lavan made that they'll never ever fight. And Lavan promised that's always going to happen for generations. Whether Bilam was Lavan exactly, or whether it was a generation, whatever it was, he should have remembered this. So he got crushed on these stones. Exactly where he's going now to destroy Klal Yisrael, on those stones they're supposed to remind him to leave them alone, his foot gets crushed. Right? Unbelievable! Did he get the message? Absolutely not. He carries on. Not only that, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, V'yada Eidim Tiyah Bo B'Rishona. The Eidim would be the first ones to pay revenge when they see a chet going on, that the Eidim have to be the first ones to actually kill the person, to stone them. So what happened over here? Who was the aid? Who was a witness of this covenant between Yaakov and Lavan? The stones. So therefore they have to be the first ones to kill him. How did Bilam die? He fell down from the sky, which is skila. It's stoning. Right? So this is, and that's unbelievable. You know, he gets pumped, squashed on those particular stones that he made, the original covenant with Yaakov Avinu. Yeah, it's after he's being squashed and by spoken to by a donkey, it doesn't change. He gets killed. It doesn't matter. What happens, says the Gemara later on in Gittin? Unkelus Hager. Unkelus Hager wants to become a ger, right? And what does Unkelus do? He goes along and he brings up different people in the Derech Kishu. And he speaks to Bilam. And he says, Bilam, what do you say about the Jews? Who's great in Shemaim? He said, the Jews. No doubt about it. Absolutely, they're the tops. So what about joining with them? He said, absolutely not. Don't even think of it. Leisidrash tevosom, what's the Pasuk say? Do not seek out their good forever. Atidrash leisidrash shleimom v'tevosom kalayomim. Do not seek out their good forever. Which, by the way, is a Pasuk referring to not being friendly with Amon and Moav because of what Bilam did. In other words, he flipped around the Pasuk. Instead of referring to his nations, it means he flipped around about Klal Yisrael. You know, that's PR. You know, negative PR. Flipped around the PR. In other words, you flip around exactly what it said about you, use it for other people. Don't do it. He said, yeah, Bilam, tell me, how are you being punished? He said, I'm being punished. B'shichvas zera resachas. I'm being deep fried in shichvas zera, in semen. Why? Because of the chet, he encouraged Klal Yisrael to do a chet. So here he is on a daily process. He's being deep fried in shichvas zera. Right, he's been killed with skila. He had a donkey speaking to him. He had all different paths, and he didn't change one iota in Shemayim. He didn't change one bit. You know why? because changing is nothing to do with knowledge. It's got to do with midas tovus. Unless you use your midas to say, okay, I see what's going on over here and I want to do something about it, only then you can change. But the knowledge you have is never going to change you. You can have all the knowledge in the world. A smoker has all the knowledge in the world that you can kill him. It's not going to change him. He's got to actually want to do it. And this is this week's parasha. This week's parasha begins with motivation. What motivates a person to a chet? It gives us idea of don't get taken in. That if a person is a zoriz, a person zealous and has a passion to do something, means he's doing the right thing. He's not. Sometimes a passion is being pulled along by his taiva. A person has different stages in the chet. It's a wide open stage, it's a narrow stage, and it gets to a stage where it's very, very difficult to crawl out of. Be aware when you're going along this path that you have the different options, and grab the option when you have the time, when it's wide open. We have in this week's parasha as well the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving you signs. It's a Vayicha Afel Hakim, but it'll always be Hashem helping you. He'll give you a sign. Sometimes that sign looks very scary, sometimes the sign looks with a Chavu Shlufa Biyodoi. You know how many times you hear a quadriplegic who became a Baal Tshuva because he was shot, you know, and by some white supremacists in university and became total Baal Tshuva. You hear these stories, yeah? Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us his warnings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us his signs. We've got to take them, we've got to change our life. This parasha deals with everything about Chet, and therefore, we can well understand why this parasha should have been in Kriyat Shema. We should learn these messages, and we should just see the wonderful Chelik of Klal Matoiv Alecha Yaakov, and learn how far we can be from Avram Avinu, if we are Chas V'Shalom to meet him within a Marosha.